Hello, and welcome to another edition of the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, everyone, depending on what time you're listening to this. In case we haven't met, my name is Ray Tempesta, and I'm the host of this theatrical endeavour, where in each episode I shine a big old spotlight on some of the theatre happening in our region. And by our region, I mean East Anglia. And by East Anglia, I mean Norfolk, Suffolk and Cambridgeshire. Yes, I know some include Essex and bits of Bedfordshire in the eastern region. However, I am but one man, and that's too much ground for me to cover. So sorry, Milton Keynes and Braintree theatre-goers, you can suck it. Now, if you're not familiar with the format of the podcast, it's split into three parts. Part one is where I tell you a bit about what I've been up to in the world of theatre. Part two is the pièce de résistance, the interview with a guest or guests about the production or company that they're involved with. And part three is where I give you a brief rundown of the shows coming up over the next few weeks, and the occasional mention of audition opportunities too. But before we get on to part one, there's a little bit of admin to take care of. Firstly, if you like what you hear and you want to show support for the podcast, you can follow the various social media accounts on Facebook, Instagram, X and TikTok. There's no groundbreaking content on there, but you will find shout-outs for upcoming productions and reviews too. If you fancy it, you can also take a look at my website, eatpod.co.uk. That's eatpod.co.uk. Here you'll find all episodes of the podcast, plus the reviews that I produce, and the occasional written interview too. Right, that's the dirty work taken care of. Let's move on to the first section where I ask myself, Ray, what have you been up to in the world of theatre lately? Well, in the absence of any rehearsals, I've taken in another bunch of shows this past week. The first of these was Jesus Christ Superstar at Norwich Theatre Royal. The full review is on eatpod.co.uk, but as someone who throughout his long life has somehow avoided the smash hit musical, I went into it not really knowing any of the songs. But of course, nor was my opinion clouded having not seen any previous productions. What struck me is how modern and fresh it all was, and having now listened to the very 70s soundtrack from previous versions, I definitely prefer this more modern staging. The vocals in it were some of the best I've heard, although occasionally the vocal acrobatics came at the expense of clarity. Some of that could have been down to my unfamiliarity with the lyrics, though. Anyway, it was a stunning show, and while it's obviously now finished in Norwich, if you're more Essex or Suffolk-based, there is the opportunity to catch it in Southend in July. I also caught a youth production of Matilda, or Matilda Junior to be exact, at Sheringham Little Theatre, although I didn't review that one. However, it was a charming show from their in-house youth group, and it showcased the talents of some promising young performers. If you've got a young person who's interested in theatre, and you're based in North Norfolk, you could do worse than get them involved in this lovely little company. And finally, I watched a brand new show called Richard, My Richard, at the Theatre Royal, Bury St Edmunds. Again, I produced a review for this, which you can read on my website. But it was a fantastic production, really absorbing and interesting, offering food for thought as to how history is recorded and whose version we hear. It was written by best-selling author Philippa Gregory and is very much a piece of propaganda inviting you to revise your view of the much-maligned King Richard III. It is absolutely worth a watch and it continues at Theatre Royal Bury St Edmunds until the 27th of April. Very shortly, I'll also be watching Edward Scissorhands, the Matthew Bourne Ballet, at Norwich Theatre Royal, and Betty and Joan at Sewell Barn Theatre, so look out for my reviews of those. By the time this episode goes out, the Edward Scissorhands review should certainly be available. I'm also visiting some friends of mine in Stockport at the weekend, and whilst up north, I'll be watching The River by Jez Butterworth, although, of course, that not being in East Anglia, I won't be providing a review of that one, but there's plenty to keep me busy. But enough about me, what about you guys? Well, actually, speaking of you guys, I've had a few messages this week from people telling me what they've been up to. Barney Matley and Daniel Sturman both got in touch to rave about how good Jesus Christ Superstar was. I also had an email that made me laugh from Roz, who watched a production of Return to the Forbidden Planet in Galston. She described it as like expecting a Hollywood blockbuster and getting a dodgy B-movie, although she added that the band and the choreography was good and she still enjoyed it. Now, it's an interesting one that, because I've seen plenty of shows where the standard has been poor, but usually, if the performers are confident and charismatic, it's enough to ensure I'm entertained. Anyway, I do always enjoy your messages, so do please keep them coming. Always happy to hear from you, whether you've got positive news or otherwise to impart. So let's move on to the reason you're really here, the interview, And this time I'd like to introduce you to a creative who has written a religious themed play exploring mental health and faith, which is set to be performed in Sproutton in Norwich. His name is Dean Ackrill, and his original play, Fuzzy, is getting a second outing at St Cuthbert's Church next month. So, without further ado, let's listen to my chat with him, shall we? Hi everyone, I'm here with Dean Ackrill, who has written a play called Fuzzy. Although I say written, quite some years ago it was originally written. So, how are you, Dean?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you very much. How are you?
Yeah, very, very well, thank you. I guess the first thing, being an original piece, I should ask you about the play itself, what the themes are.
The themes, okay. Well, Fuzzy is inspired, loosely based upon the Book of Job, which is from the Bible, which is a character who is basically on trial, or he feels as if he's on trial. He challenges God about why his life is such a mess and why everything's fallen through the floor. And the devil's in there as well. And basically, there's a bet on between God and the devil that the devil can't make Job fall from grace.
Hmm. I mean, there's some obviously clear universal themes in there. But is there a personal element to the story for you?
Yeah, the story within the play, it covers several bases. First of all, I think it explores ideas of mental health, and particularly my own and other people's experiences of depression. The state that Job gets into within the context of the play is very much akin to depression, and so much of the play itself takes place in a psychiatric hospital. The other themes it explores are faith and how faith, whilst being a positive thing and can offer grace and hope, can also be destructive and abusive when it becomes controlling, when we think we've captured the mind of God, which Job's friends, or at least one of Job's friends in the play, thinks that he has captured the mind of God and becomes a character who is quite controlling and abusive. Hmm. Also within the play, as if that wasn't enough, there are themes of sexuality. And again, thinking about how we sometimes think we got everything sussed regarding sexuality and sexual identity, particularly if you're a kind of religious person, you can think you got everything sussed. But this play kind of questions that. And in it focuses primarily on relationships, I think. The relationships between Job's friend, his wife, and also Job's vicar as well, who is quite a sympathetic character. There are two sort of really religious characters in this play. One is sympathetic, and the other one, Joe's friend, is actually a bit of a psycho, to be honest.
I saw the play originally when, I can't remember what year it was.
2014.
Blimey, that really is a long time ago. In my head, I thought maybe 2017, 2018, perhaps. That really is a long time ago. So at the time when I saw it, it struck me that obviously mental health was a theme that ran through it constantly almost. And it occurred to me, because you've obviously now revisited it, is it because mental health is a much more hot topic now than it was perhaps back in 2014?
I think it's one of the reasons, definitely. I think that mental health and how mental health is perceived and understood is always a hot topic. And I think more so now more than ever. I mean, given that the sort of world we're living in now, I think it's a dominant problem amongst all age ranges. The other thing I wanted further to explore, I think, was the controlling aspect of religion, and especially in regards to how religion can judge people who are different from the sort of people who tend to gather in church.
I suppose at this point it's probably worth pointing out your connection to the church.
Yes, I am a vicar, but I also know how religion can go wrong. And when it goes wrong, it's messy. But there is a sort of message of hope at the at the end of it when, well, I don't want to give too much away, but there is a hopeful conclusion to the play. Yeah,
that's fine. And so, having revisited it, have you made much of the way of tweaks compared to 10 years ago?
I've made quite a few tweaks. I mean, a lot on the production side, how it looks, but also I've changed one of the characters slightly. In the original version, Job's daughter, Stacey, had a friend who was gay. This time, she has a friend who is trans. So there we go. I thought that with all the different questions regarding gender identity, that might be an interesting tweak to make. Although it doesn't go too far on that. That's quite a minor character compared to some of the others.
Yeah. And what was the reaction last time? And do you anticipate or hope for any kind of different reaction this time?
Last time it was very positive. I also got a lot of people look at me and sort of go, that was interesting. so I'm hoping really to both entertain, because there are funny bits in it. It's not all deadly serious. The God and the devil have the sort of comic relief, but to entertain, but also to challenge, to provoke, to get people thinking, really.
What I would say from it, having seen it back then, I'd say it wasn't always an easy watch.
No.
And was that something you either anticipated or an element you added into the play in order to prompt that reaction from people?
I don't know if I deliberately did it. I think I was being honest, emotionally honest and spiritually honest. And bits of it are semi-autobiographical, and bits of it are based on things I've seen going on around me. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that it's a biography of any kind, but it contains a lot of truth within it. And I think that my aim really is to convey emotional and spiritual truth. And I think also, I mean, my abiding sort of motivation, I suppose, is, especially within amateur dramatics, is actually to write something and do something different, because it's very easy to, you know, fall back on the old favourites, the old classics, which get the good audiences. But I think it's good to do something different and to be experimental. And I would encourage anybody to try that, to convey your truth on the stage, because a lot of stuff is in short form at the moment, you know, on social media and TikTok videos and all the rest of it is in short form. And I think that it's good to try something a bit longer, a bit more meaty, just conveying something about how you feel about the world, how you relate to it, your truth, and do it in a sort of entertaining and accessible way. Although, as I said, bits of this play are quite dark, but you know, it's darkness and light that are all part of the same experience.
Yeah, and I think that is part of the role of theatre as well. As well as to entertain, it's also to provoke thought. And so sometimes that thought isn't always an easy process. So I don't think we should avoid the darkness, as it were. So last time out, you were playing the lead role. Was it Jacob Job was the character? Are you stepping into the role again this time?
I am. I'm stepping into it again. I did have various other thoughts about other people who could play it, but it didn't sort of work out. So I'm stepping into the role again, but we have a cast, some of whom are coming back from last time, plus a number of newcomers as well.
Okay.
All so, very talented.
Everyone's 10 years older this time.
Well, that's right. We had to recast my daughter because she was too old to play the part now. Because she's supposed to be about 16, 17 in the play, you see.
So, I see. Okay. And just moving away from the play and onto your own history in the theatre, why do you do it? Why do you love the theatre?
Why do I love the theatre? I think I enjoy, as an actor, I enjoy showing off. I enjoy stepping into someone else's shoes and telling a story. I enjoy exploring character. I enjoy entertaining people. I mean, a lot of my stuff I've done, not so much in this role, but a lot of the stuff I enjoy doing are things like slapstick and broad comedy. But the other thing I enjoy, I think more and more as I get older, is telling new stories and writing and producing. I think that side of it is more important to me these days. Whereas when I was younger, it was all about showing off on stage, basically.
And speaking of new stories, I mean, have you got anything in the pipeline at all?
I have a few thoughts, but not particularly well developed at the moment. But there's a few ideas there. Yeah.
And I know you're also involved, because this is under the guise of SCART, St. Yeah. Cuthbert's Arts, but you're also involved in Sparriston Parish Players as well.
That's right.
Are you planning something with them at all later this year?
Probably. Their pantomime next year is going to be Alice in Wonderland. I've got my eye on a few parts in that, but I'd better not mention what they are, because I don't want to influence the director. Or get them to say, definitely not, you know, you won't do that well.
And also, we'll talk about some of your highlights in theatre, because, I mean, just for audience context, Dean and I have worked together on quite a number of shows, quite a few years ago now, with Laughing Monkey, the now defunct Laughing Monkey. What would you say have been your particular highlights from your time on stage?
With Laughing Monkey, I think the character was it called Ted in Confusions? Anyway, I played this drunken lech who was basically trying to chat up a girl, sort of quarter of his age in a pub, and Confusions. I can't even remember who wrote it now. It's a well-known playwright, though. you caught me off guard there. That was a great role, and I learned a lot, both about the process of acting and also about myself in that, including if you're playing drunk, don't drink too much apple juice, otherwise you'll want to keep off nipping to the loo in the show. And I suppose my other highlight is something very different, playing the baby-eating Bishop of Bath and Wells in Blackadder. That was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was sort of reminded of our time together recently, because I went to see a production of Weird Sisters at Sheringham Little Theatre. And I just remember having an absolute ball with that production, and actually it being really, really, probably for Laughing Monkey, that was one of our best selling shows, I think.
Mm. Yeah, actually, Terry Pratchett is one of my influences when it comes to writing. Mm. The other one being Alan Bennett. So there you go, two contrasting kind of characters there.
Yeah, although Alan Bennett probably fits in a little bit more with your more northern roots.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I can almost hear you doing a Talking Heads.
I'd like to do one actually sometime. Yeah, that'd be good.
they're quite the challenge.
Yes. But as I say, I'd like to get into proper characters who feel like they're real people rather than, you know, cartoons, which is, you know, I there's nothing wrong with that. I've done an awful lot of it, but I'm at a stage now where I think, I want to go beyond the cartoon and do something that feels a bit real.
Mm, yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you've got something to get your teeth into with this one, Fuzzy. And speaking of Fuzzy, when is it on and where can we get tickets?
Okay. It's on the 18th and 19th of May at 7 o'clock at St. Cuthbert's Church on Roxham Road, which when you get inside will look like a theatre because we've got a big stage and flats and everything. So yes, St. Cuthbert's Church, Roxham Road, Sproston. Tickets are £5 and it's just on the door, so you don't need to book. I think it's unlikely that we're going to be sold out, given that this is not particularly well known, but I might be surprised. Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, certainly got a supportive community when it comes to your panto. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that nicely covers everything, Dean.
Great. Thank you.
Good luck with the rehearsal process. I mean, you've got about a month or so to go.
We have. Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing it as well.
Great. Thanks very much. I'll see you then.
Seeing how it's developed in 10 years.
All right, you take care.
So there we have it. That was Dean Ackrill, whose play Fuzzy returns after 10 years to St Cuthbert's Church in Sprowston. As Dean mentioned, if you want tickets for that, just turn up at St Cuthbert's Church on the 18th or the 19th of May and purchase tickets at the door. He thinks it's unlikely to sell out, and at just £5, it offers superb value. Now, what else has come up in the region over the next few weeks? Well, I'll start in Norwich, and the East Norfolk Operatic Society is performing the Rodgers and Hammerstein classic Oklahoma at the Madamarket Theatre next month. It's a production which, for musical theatre lovers, needs no introduction, and it's on between the 8th and the 11th of May with a matinee on the Saturday. Tickets for that are available via madamarket.co.uk. In North Norfolk, CSODS, that's Cromer and Sheringham Operatic and Dramatic Society, is presenting its production of the Dolly Parton musical, 9 to 5. It's being staged at the Cromer Pavilion Theatre, and it runs from the 25th of May to the 1st of June. Tickets can be purchased via cromerpier.co.uk. In Cambridgeshire, there's a play on at the ADC Theatre called Penelope Quadrangle and the Meaning of Friendship. It's a new piece written by Amini Groves, and it asks the question, what would you do if your best friend murdered someone? For Penelope Quadrangle, the answer is simple. Hide the body. Sure, her best friend Natalie doesn't talk much or invite her to birthday drinks or even particularly like her, but without Natalie, she'd be nothing. So when Natalie kills a client at their workplace, priority number one is to make sure nobody ever finds out. If you're intrigued by this proposition, you can watch the show between the 15th and 18th of May, and tickets are available via adctheatre.com. And finally, in Suffolk, Bury St Edmunds Operatic and Dramatic Society, or BSODS, are performing their production of The Wonderful Maid in Dagenham. It's a musical I'm very familiar with, having been in a production of it in Norwich a few years back, but for those who aren't aware, it's the story of the female workers at the Ford factory in Dagenham who go on strike after their jobs are reclassified, effectively making them unskilled workers and leading to a pay cut. It's a moving, touching, very funny and ultimately uplifting story. It's on at the Theatre Royal Bury St Edmunds between the 15th and 18th of May with a matinee on the Saturday, and you can get tickets via theatreroyal.org. And that, folks, is all I have time for. As usual, I'll feature links for all the shows mentioned on my social media pages throughout the coming weeks. Do get in touch if you want me to feature your show, or indeed if you want to ruin a half hour by chatting to me for the podcast. Anyhow, thanks so much for listening to me and Dean ramble on, and tune in next time when I'll be chatting to a Suffolk-based company about a Lucy Kirkwood play that I know very well. Intrigued? Well, make sure you keep an ear out for that one. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. And go watch some theatre. Bye.